We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.deb.tumcseymour.org. And now we will have our scripture reading, Joel 2, verse 28, and that is on page 902 in your pew Bible. The day of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And now we will have our sermon, In a Dream, brought to us today by Pastor Mark Smallwood.
Good morning. Anybody else here nervous? Thank you. Thank you. At least I have some people along with me. I'm still not at ease with the word pastor. When I think of pastor, that is someone who is well educated, who knows the Bible, and has picture frames on the wall of their degrees and their accolades. And I stand here this morning and I have nothing. A week ago last Friday, the conference held a retreat for those of us who were discerning a call into ministry. And as we sat and we talked on Thursday evening before the retreat on Friday, I had this growing sense that I was well out of my comfort zone. And I'm sure some of you have been there. I was the one country bumpkin in overalls in a room full of business suits. To my left was a woman from Louisville who held a PhD. To my right was a young man that worked at Cummins but had a Master's of Divinity degree. Across the table was a young man with a Master's of Divinity. Across the room was a lady who had already been to seminary. And I had nothing. Many times during my working career, I had people ask me, "Well, you seem to know a lot about this. What college did you go to?" And my response would be, "Well, I went to the University of OJT." And they'd get this puzzled look on their face. And I'd say, OJT, on the job training. And I subscribe to a few websites of faith, and I get emails every day. And Tuesday of this past week, I received an email that had an article in it called The 10 Things on Leading the Church That Every Pastor Should Know. Reason number two was God smacking me on the back of the head and said, "Read this and read it well." It was titled, "A Pastor's Formal Education Does Not Define Their Ability to Lead." The author goes on to write, and I quote, "A pastor of the small church will often have less formal training and education, and not surprisingly will feel inferior to their colleagues who have their seminary degrees." But then he says, and no disrespect intended to my mentor, she's hiding here somewhere. There she is. Better the preacher who's got it on the ball than on the wall. So over the next 20 minutes or so, I'll let you decide that. So I'll ask you to bow your heads and I'll pray us into today's message. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning that you bring your Holy Spirit into the sanctuary and cover us all. And Father, I ask that the words that I say this morning, they be received with open hearts and open minds. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So, do you ever have dreams? I will say for myself, it's a nightly occurrence. And for the majority of those dreams, they'll fade into oblivion. But do you ever have those dreams that are just this side of weird? Again, for me, the majority are just a little odd. As much as AI, or artificial intelligence, is in the news anymore for all that it can do, good and bad, our brains were created by a supernatural intelligence. In the dream state, the human mind can create some truly extraordinary images. God gave us a device that can calculate a million times a second that will keep our bodies operating and processing our thoughts and actions. So when you get up this morning and hurriedly leave after my sermon, your brain is controlling every action that you make to leave this building, get in your car, drive yourselves home, and whatever you're going to do for the rest of the day. That is your God-given brain doing all the work. But when we sleep, our brains can rest and come up with some pretty absurd stuff. I recently had a dream where I was at high school graduation. We were staying in a hotel or what was a dormitory of some kind, and it was the day of graduation. And we had to get everything out of our rooms and place it on carts. And while everyone was getting ready for graduation, I had to get something out of my cart. I couldn't find my cart. I was looking everywhere. And suddenly, I said, "There's some of my stuff." Lo and behold, I was looking at a couple bags of green peppers. Now, why would I have green peppers at my graduation? Was there something in that dream that God wanted to impress upon me? And there are books by the dozens on how to analyze dreams, but I've never been one to place too much stock into dreams or how they play out in real life or what significance they reveal. But God does. In the Bible, God uses dreams as a way to talk to us, to reveal insight on a situation, or reveal himself to us. It can be a straightforward answer, or as Jesus taught, it could be in parables. We then have the work of doing, trying to figure it all out. What does this mean? What should I do? My mentor said it could be God relaying to you to be the fruit of the Spirit, or that you're about to bear fruit. We think of green peppers as a vegetable, but technically green peppers are a fruit. So it Depends upon who you talk to, what websites you use. But does it really matter whether they're a fruit or a vegetable? It's kind of like the old, and I'm going to maybe raise some arguments here, but it's kind of like the old toilet paper debate. Does it roll over the top or does it come under the bottom? It doesn't matter to me as long as it comes off. If you do an internet search of green peppers in a dream, and I did, they, oddly enough, they symbolize growth and maturity, a progression of your spiritual faith. But of course, I'm somewhat new to this side of ministry, trying my best to express my thoughts and hope they make sense in the process. So it could be just God wanted to remind me that I've got a lot to learn because I'm still pretty green. A research paper titled Dreams and the Brain states that dreams are the most remarkable experiment in psychology and neuroscience conducted every night in every sleeping person. They show that our brain the plug is pulled and you're disconnected from the environment, your brain can generate by itself an entire world of conscious experiences. God uses dreams and visions as a way of divine communication. He uses them for revelation, for guidance, for prophecy, and for warning. But dreams and visions are not the same. Dreams are experienced while one is asleep. Visions come to a person while fully awake. Today we'll focus on dreams and when God is present. There was a study in 2007 from the Fuller Theological Seminary that interviewed 750 Muslims that had converted to Christianity and what it was that led to their conversion. Many responses highlighted the love of God for His people, and importantly, the love that Christians had for one another. Other influences included God's power to answer prayers and disillusionment with the Quran. But one in four responses said their decision to convert came from dreams they believed to be from God. There is a story of a Persian migrant who arrived at a refugee center at 6 a.m. He was visibly upset. He went about telling his story to a Persian pastor. He said during the night he saw someone dressed in white raise his hand and say, "Stand up and follow me." The Persian man said, "Well, who are you?" The man in white replied, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. No one can go to the Father except through me." He asked the Persian pastor, "Well, who was this man and why did he ask me to follow him? Tell me, Pastor, what am I going to do?" In response, the pastor held out his Bible and said, "Have you seen this before?" Persian immigrant said, "No." "Do you know what it is?" And again he said, "No." So the pastor opened it to the book of Revelation and read, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And the man started to cry. And you said, how can I accept him? How can I follow him? So the pastor led him in prayer, and peace just washed over the man. The pastor then gave him a Bible, but he told him to hide it. He said, the Muslims in the camp might cause you trouble, or they even might want to harm you. But the man confidently said, the Jesus that I met today, he is more powerful than any Muslim in this camp. The man left, but he wasn't gone for long. About an hour later, he returned with 10 more Persians and told the pastor, these people want a Bible. Amen. Do you have that kind of confidence in your Jesus? I let you off the hook today because today's sermon has only one responsive amen. My first sermon on November 30th had quite a few. And I reminded the folks at New Zion United Methodist Church that although we are Methodist, it is okay every once in a while to say amen. Thank you. So a word of warning. If I'm ever asked to do this again, I'm going to come in here with a sermon so full of amens, you'll think it's a revival. Dreams are a personal experience. As they happen, you aren't sharing your dreams with anyone else. Those around you aren't aware that you're dreaming unless you talk in your sleep. But then the whole story's not even revealed. God is always ready to give you direction through a dream. So let's look at Joseph in Genesis 37. Here's a young man who is loved by his father, tending to the sheep and doing what a shepherd does. Joseph is despised by his brothers for what they see as favoritism from their father Jacob. In dreams, Joseph sees his family bowing down to him, not once, but twice. And as the story continues, Joseph is sold into slavery and, of course, ends up in Egypt. Here God gives Joseph the power to interpret dreams. Most importantly for Pharaoh, Joseph becomes a very powerful man in Egypt because of his wisdom, his God-given wisdom. And during a prolonged period of famine, lo and behold, his brothers arrive to buy food and, guess what? Bow down before his presence. There's Joseph's first dream coming true. As the famine continues, they return to buy more food and fell prostrate to the ground. Anyone keeping count? There's dream number two. For Joseph, God used his dreams to foretell his future. From the website Bible Outlined, understanding the meaning behind our dreams can be a powerful tool for growth and reflection. This process encourages us to evaluate what might be impacting our lives. The dreams we have and how we can align them with God's purpose. We are invited to trust that God will provide us with clarity either through direct messages or through people he places in our lives every day, by our interactions and simple discussions. Dreams can symbolize hope and the future that God has planned for us. Dreams are there to inspire us to remain steadfast in our faith, reminding us that we are not alone in our struggles. God uses these many movies to lead us towards the promises he has laid out in his word. We learn that even during challenging times, that there's always hope waiting for us in the Word of God. As we hold on to these dreams, we can take comfort knowing that God does have a plan for us. There's 21 mentions of dreams in the Bible, and most of those are in the Old Testament. The prophet Jeremiah writes words of warning to the exiles in Babylon on prophets who claim that their dreams to be from God. He wants the exiles to realize the difference between those whose dreams are just dreams and those whose dreams are truly from the mind of God. Jeremiah was in direct contrast to the prophet Hananiah. From Jeremiah 23, God speaks, "I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, 'I had a dream, I had a dream.' How long will this continue in the hearts of those lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain?" And that there is a very important statement. What has straw to do with grain? In other words, God will reveal the counterfeit revelation. Those who speak of dreams like they are from God do so only to mislead. Those who speak their fiction will soon be nothing but chaff. The true prophets, the man that is truly sent by God, will be considered the wheat. One will be burnt and disappear. One will stand with the truth and be the choice grain of the harvest. So if we travel a little farther and we look at verse 28, Jeremiah confronts the false prophet Hananiah. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. Yet you have persuaded this nation to trust in you. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This very year, you are going to die." What would you do if you were told that? Would you repent? Or would you continue on like Hananiah? In the seventh month of that same year, Hananiah died. I doubt that anyone here would trade places with Hananiah. But do we ever make false statements or false claims? Do we ever say or proclaim things that would not be from the mouth of God? Would we attest to anything to show us as righteous, knowing it was not? If we're truthful, the answer would be yes. Not to the breadth and depth of Hananiah, but yes, all the same. The difference for true believers is that we stop. Consider our words and our actions, and then ask for forgiveness. To simply have a repentant heart, knowing that truth is what God is asking for. Consider this from Deuteronomy 13. God explicitly lays out the ground rules here for dealing with false prophets. Moses speaks, "If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or a wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, And the prophet says, let us follow other gods and let us worship them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord of your God is, he's testing you to find out whether you really love him with all your heart and all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and you and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer, and here we go again, must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God. So back in the days of Moses, in the days of the Old Testament, that's pretty straightforward and in your face. You lie, you die. But the false prophet has a chance. A roll of the dice to tell of something that might and could eventually happen. Everyone here in this sanctuary and the false prophet has a chance to get it right once. That doesn't mean he had a dream or a vision that came from God. He or she is erring on the chance of possibility. My chances would be better to walk into this church and prophesy that Dale's going to flip on a light switch than to say that Joe there is going to win the $1 billion Powerball jackpot. One has a very much better chance of happening than the other. One has a higher degree of possibility. The other, sorry Joe, is highly unlikely or impossible. This is where we've got to be on guard and use the word of God as a way to sift the truth from the fiction. False teachers use hype and circumstance. Our God uses divine truth and seeking hearts. Earlier we looked at Joseph from the Old Testament. I don't know how I'm doing time-wise, but it really doesn't matter. There was another Joseph who had not one, not two, not three, but four dream encounters with God. The woman that Joseph is supposed to marry is with child. Joseph quietly plans to call off the marriage as the child is not his. But then in a dream, he is told that the baby is not the offspring of any other earthly man, but is a divine incarnation and will fulfill ancient prophecy and be called Jesus. Joseph heeds the dream and does exactly what the dream said. And this simple act of obedience results in Joseph becoming the earthly father of our Messiah. After the birth of Jesus and talk of this new King of Kings, Herod commands every male child ages 2 and under in and around Bethlehem to be put to death. Once again, God uses dreams as a way of warning. He is told to take his wife and flee to Egypt. Then after Herod dies, another dream alerts Joseph that it's okay to return home. But as he's making their way to Jerusalem, dream number 4 enters their reality. And God says, you're still in danger. So Joseph changes paths and they settle in Nazareth, where Jesus grows up. Joseph is not a man of social status. He's not a teacher. He's not a preacher. He's not a country bumpkin in overalls and a room full of business suits. He is just a lowly carpenter. yet he is the one who is entrusted with the safety of the Son of God, and he gets all of this through dreams. Maybe it's time to pay more attention to your dreams. Maybe it's time to listen more intently to what God is saying to you. Maybe, just maybe, it's time you submitted to the will of the Father. Whether he communicates to you at night as you sleep, approaches you directly through the words of someone else, or greets you with that still small voice as you pray. Pay attention. God wants to have a conversation with you. God wants to speak to you of the love and the hope and the peace that is received when you become a believer. Someone who can testify by their words and their actions. Peoples who intent is to follow Christ and be Christ to others. The dream that you had last night could be a call to action for our Lord and Savior. A dream may come to you tonight. But you may not realize it's from God until a day, maybe a week, maybe a few months after. Jesus spoke in parables, asking us to complete the picture. To discern the true meaning while accepting his invitation. To come closer to his grace and to his love. To be in mission for Christ. To dream dreams of God's guidance and intervention. To let God's dreams for you lead you to dream dreams of that day when you will be in heaven standing face to face with our God and our Father. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Before we play our song of response,